to leave it to foundations and individuals to solve the problem, I don't think this will happen. I think to defeat AIDS, you need a political will, you need governments, and the US government, being a world leader, I think should lead the way.
That was an excerpt of an interview I did with Winston Zulu several weeks ago. For the entire interview, please log on to our website at www.flashpoints.net.
And that does wrap it up for another edition of Flashpoints, which airs every weekday and is produced by Dennis Bernstein.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Coming up next, Queer Voices.
First you listen, then you fall in love. You have your favorite programs that you listen to each and every week. And finally, you do the right thing by calling in that pledge of support to KPFT. You feel great, but guess what? Your job, it's not done just yet. You still promise to KPFT by sending that pledge payment today. And when you do, you take that often forgotten last step. Don't wait any longer. KPFT depends on you.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. It's 63 degrees here in Houston, and today is World AIDS Day. Tonight, we're going to be covering that subject with a number of different segments. Rich will be here. He's the Director of Education for the Center for AIDS, and he'll be talking about some of the things that they're doing. We also will have Kelly McCain on from the AIDS Foundation of Houston, and we'll be doing some personal perspectives of people who are affected by this disease. And also, we will be doing things from This Way Out about the movies and stuff that are coming out, that come out during the year, and talking about some other stuff. But first, we go to London to listen to the world news from the BBC World Service.
BBC News with Paul Jenkinson. A United Nations committee monitoring Al-Qaeda has warned that the network's ideology is continuing to spread and that stronger measures may be necessary to compel UN member states to help in the fight against terrorism. The committee's report said less than half of its membership had volunteered information about measures they'd taken. Our UN correspondent Greg Barrow reports.
The message from this latest report by the UN's Al-Qaeda Monitoring Committee is that the organization still presents a serious threat, and the UN's tools for monitoring it may need strengthening. Up until now, the Monitoring Committee has relied on UN member states to volunteer information about how they're limiting the activities of Al-Qaeda and associated groups. But fewer than half of all member states are cooperating, and even the quality of the information provided by those states is being questioned. The report says that without a tougher and more comprehensive resolution that obliges states to provide the information requested, the role of the UN in the fight against international terrorism risks being marginalized.
United States forces in Iraq have acknowledged that Sunday's fighting in the northern city of Samarra was the biggest battle since President Bush declared an end to major combat operations in May. The US says 54 Iraqis were killed in the fighting, which erupted when two American convoys were ambushed as they were delivering newly issued Iraqi banknotes. The United States has announced it's ending a controversial program requiring male visitors from many Muslim countries to register with the U.S. Immigration Service. The checks were introduced after the September the 11th attacks, following criticism about how easy it was for the plane hijackers to enter and operate inside the U.S. But they sparked protests and criticism from civil rights groups that the U.S. government was discriminating against Muslims. David Bamford reports from Washington.
A senior official in the Homeland Security Department confirmed that the U.S. is scrapping a controversial monitoring system that singled out for special security treatment males originating from 25 countries, nearly all of them predominantly Muslim. From now on, the department says, visitors from these countries will be treated like any other visitors. They will no longer be required to re-register after 30 days and then again after 1 year, purely because of their nationality. Checks will continue, but on an individual basis.
The American Health Secretary has warned that the fight against AIDS is apparently being lost and has called for a redoubling of efforts against the disease. Speaking on World AIDS Day, Tommy Thompson said that with 3 million deaths a year, the war against AIDS had far more casualties than any other. Mr. Thompson's warning came as the United Nations unveiled a plan to provide 3 million of the world's poorest HIV patients with life-prolonging antiretroviral drugs. You're listening to the news from the BBC. A leading human rights organization has accused the Nigerian government of using violence and intimidation to silence its critics. Human Rights Watch says opposition leaders, political protesters, and journalists have been killed, tortured, and harassed despite the country's return to civilian rule. The organization is urging leaders of the Commonwealth meeting in Nigeria for a summit this week not to ignore abuses in the host country. Anna Borzello reports from Lagos.
The 40-page report accuses the Nigerian government of being responsible for killings, tortures, and harassment of its critics over the last 2 years. The report, entitled Renewed Crackdown on Freedom of Expression, says that opposition leaders, political protesters, and journalists have all fallen foul of the security forces. It also accuses police of recently beating up members of the Ogoni ethnic group. This is of particular embarrassment to the government, as the execution of Ogoni activist Ken Sarawiwa 8 years ago led to Nigeria being suspended from the Commonwealth.
A group of prominent Israelis and Palestinians has formally launched an alternative and unofficial Middle East peace plan in the Swiss city of Geneva. Its authors, members of the Israeli opposition and unofficial Palestinian negotiators, hope the plan, known as the Geneva Accord, will revive the faltering peace process. The plan calls for the establishment of a Palestinian state and the dismantling of most Jewish settlements, while granting Israel the right to decide how many Palestinian refugees it will allow back. A four-day campaign by Venezuelan opposition groups to collect enough signatures to force a referendum on the presidency of Hugo Chavez has ended without major incident. More than 60,000 police officers were deployed at signature collection points across the country to assure the campaign proceeded smoothly. Despite accusations by the government of widespread fraud, the Secretary General of the Organization of American States, Cesar Gaviria, who's observing the campaign, said he was satisfied with its conduct. BBC News.
Good evening. You're listening to Queer Voices. This is Jack Valensky.
And I'm Joan Devlin.
And J.D. Doyle.
Oops, and Glenn Holt.
Today, all day today, was World AIDS Day. And if you were listening to KPFT earlier, they were simulcasting with Channel 17, which is the Houston media source, for 3 hours. I think Ray almost got tired of talking because he was hosting the entire show.
Well, that boggles the mind.
And he did a great, great show. And in fact, then there was a rally downtown. And now hopefully people are coming home and listening to our show. We're going to be covering some different aspects of it, including talking to Rich Ehrenschild, who's the Director of Education and Outreach for the Center for AIDS here in Houston, an organization that has been doing some great work. And also Kelly McCain in the second hour, the AIDS Foundation of Houston. And then we'll be doing some personal stories. And in between that, we'll be doing some stuff, which is a year-end review of movies done by This Way Out. They were sort of taking it a little bit easier because it was this the holiday weekend that they're doing this sort of retrospect on films. And also the BBC World Services was doing some fabulous stories on AIDS. The Sundance Channel was doing some stuff, and Monday's their documentary day.
When does Angels in America start?
And thanks for asking. This Sunday on HBO is the first part, and then it'll be, it's like a 3-hour segment, and they'll be repeating the single hour like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but check the site, HBO.com, and the following Sunday will be the second installment of 3 hours. And from the reviews and everything I heard, it's just a fabulous show, just as good as probably seeing it on, seeing the play. But I got to give HBO a lot of credit for putting that show together. I haven't seen it, but I understand it's very good.
When I saw the play, 10 years ago, I thought it was the best play I'd ever seen, period.
It was an amazing play.
Yes, and it's funny how they were, some of the people were talking about it, like Frank Rich, who's the theater critic, used to be the theater critic for the New York Times, now writes an op-ed piece on Sundays in the arts section, arts and leisure section. But, it's also funny that last night Showtime showed The Reagans, which didn't make it onto CBS because they were thinking it was too controversial, the conservatives were, but comparing that to Angels in America and the fact that, the story sort of overlaps where Reagan basically ignored
AIDS when it first came out. And if he had been doing his job as president representing this country, maybe we wouldn't be where we are today with this epidemic going on. Let's listen to the segment from This Way Out.
Actually contains no sinking ocean liners, no high-speed car chases.
My film is about a few years that I spent pretending to be somebody else before I went to prison.
We're friends of 43 years, and we're lovers of 27 years.
It centers around a gay male couple who are enforcers for the mafia.
Look at this lad.
Our film is inspired Russ and this gay African-American civil rights hero.
This is a queer buddy movie.
Nothing like that. First puke of the day.
It's a social, gender, sexuality, drama comedy.
You wouldn't even think, you know, 20 years ago, that you'd ever would have this many gay and lesbian films.
Are you hiding in the potting machine?
Oh, it's nothing.
It's all about identity. It's all about visibility.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. This week, Pride on Screen 2003. This Way Out's award-winning entertainment reporter, Steve Pride, recalls some of the most memorable queer moments seen on big and small screens this year. News Wrap will return next week after the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday to bring you more of the news in or affecting the gay and lesbian community. And now, dim the house lights and pass the popcorn for Pride on Screen 2003.
42 years ago this month, the only gay film of 1961 played to shocked audiences, yet the Children's Hour never mentioned the words gay, lesbian.
I lie in bed night after night praying that it isn't true, but I know about it now. It's there. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I did love you. I do love you.
This is the very first film you've ever seen in which there are lesbians.
Emmy-winning filmmaker Jane Anderson.
And then Shirley MacLaine hangs herself, and the last frame is her poor little feet swinging in the shadows of the attic. What kind of a message is that to give people? Shirley MacLaine killed herself because she realized she was a piece of filth.
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty. I can't stand it anymore.
Since then, we've come a long way. This year, there have been more queer films screening in theaters, broadcast on television, or released on DVD than we can even mention in this program. Not only are we identified in these films, we are celebrated. And in many cases, we are the writers, directors, producers, and stars. Starting our journey on the big screen, 2003 began with jazz hands, show tunes, and a visit with Oscar-winning out gay screenwriter Bill Condon.
Hi, this is Bill Condon. Recently wrote this screenplay for Chicago.
So what's up with gay men and musicals?
Oh God, how long do we have? It's hard not to come up with cliche answers about that, about escapism and fantasy and all that stuff, but I just can't help but think that it has a lot to do with joy, you know? A certain joyousness that is expressed in musicals at their best. I don't know why, but I know for myself I responded to it at a very early age.
Next came an Oscar-worthy, lesbian-centric film about a trio of women. It was called The Hours and was based on a Pulitzer Prize-winning book by gay novelist Michael Cunningham.
The book actually contains no sinking ocean liners, no high-speed car chases, not really even any sex to speak of.
The Sappho highlight may be when Julianne Moore's character, a frustrated 1950s housewife, unexpectedly locks lips with a neighbor, played by a very sexy Toni Collette.
Oh, you're reading a book?
Yeah.
What's this one about?
Oh, it's about this woman who's incredibly, well, she's a hostess, and she's incredibly confident, and she's going to give a party. And maybe because she's confident, everyone thinks she's fine, but she isn't.
I mean, it's terrible because there's so many things you want to give away in this movie because I think that there are these wonderful surprises. I mean, really, really wonderful ones. I, what do you want to know about the kiss? You know, I mean, it's very easy. I mean, the kiss is an expression of her desire to reach out to her, to comfort her. It's incredibly loving and also sexual. It's what any movie kiss is. It's what any kiss is.
Actress Julianne Moore.
Somebody asked me, have you ever had a kiss like that? And I'm like, of course. And he goes, I mean, with a girl? I mean, I think everybody's had a kiss like that, whether you've kissed a girl, a boy, girls and boys, whatever. It's a very loving, very connected sexual kiss. That's the thing about girls. You kiss an actor, you don't know what they're going to smell like. And if they've shaved or what. You kiss a girl, she's going to smell good, and she's very soft.
It wasn't a particularly gay summer on the big screen in the big city, so we packed our bags and shipped ourselves off to camp.
The film was inspired by a summer camp called Stage Door Manor.
Writer-director Todd Kraft.
Where I went as a kid and worked subsequently, which is a place where kids go to learn to be actors. And beyond that, these kids who tend to be isolated and not feel like they fit in actually have this place where everybody is like them when they get off the bus.
With the fall came a different kind of camp. Girls Will Be Girls was a total drag, but a hell of a lot of fun.
Nothing like that first puke of the day.
Martini?
Oh, happy hour for me never starts till after 5.
Me either. This is only number 3.
Hey, how you doing? This is Evie Harris.
Hi, I'm the star of the movie, Varla Jean Merman.
Hello, I'm Miss Coco Peru.
Oh, dear. Hold on a second, it's my agent. Hello, Ron? Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I'm doing an interview right now. Oh, yeah, it's a hoot. We're all sitting here naked. No, he said he wouldn't mind.
Men in Mascara continued as Charles Bush's Angela Arden navigated mystery and romance with Jason Priestley's Tony Parker in Die, Mommy, Die.
Tony struck me as a guy who was willing to do whatever, whoever. He would use his sexuality, his powers of seduction, whatever way he could to get what he needed.
What are you doing here?
I was hoping to make things up to your mother.
Why are you hiding in the potting shed?
I wasn't hiding. I thought it was a safe bet your mother would be in here. It appears I was mistaken. Perhaps she's in the house.
Not so fast, sausage man. I've missed you. Miss me?
Yeah. How you been?
Baby can't sleep. Needs Tony. Needs him bad. Now.
Now? Here? Are you... Are you serious?
You were gonna say, are you crazy? Well, I am, baby. For you.
Someone might see us in here.
I guess it's tough being a switch hitter, but... Don't worry, Tony. I'll keep your secret. Just as long as you zigzag my way. Tony.
But 2003 was more than musicals, drag queens, and Virginia Woolf. Legally Blonde 2 outed a chihuahua, and Party Monster left a gay Macaulay Culkin home alone with an over-the-top Seth Green. There was Mambo Italiano about being gay in an Italian family.
I just hope he finds himself a nice Italian girl.
He won't find himself a nice Italian girl. He's gay, and he's got a new boyfriend.
Loves Angelo to death.
I should love my wife the way he loves Angelo.
The same theme another film took in an unexpected direction.
I'm Joe Treblesser, the writer and the producer of Friends and Family.